Hi, guys. It's the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Welcome in. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. You know, I wanted to play the audio of Jimmy Kimmel for you, his annual Halloween prank on the kids. But I think we should wait until Kim Gordon is here, because Kim, like you know, when you listen to me, I'm not all there. It's pretty obvious, right? But Kim is a respected news person, a journalist, and she also finds this bit very, very funny. So I think, just to make it even so that it's two against one in our favor, I think we have to wait until Kim is here later to play that audio.
All right. You just said to make it two against one.
Yeah.
That means you're waiting to do the segment so you have another person on your side against me.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
It seems wrong, doesn't
it? I don't care. The majority of the listeners are with me on this one.
I want to side with you.
But you can't do it.
I can't, because it makes me laugh so hard, and I feel guilty about it, but I still laugh very, very hard.
I don't laugh. I have this weird thing. I go into mom mode when I hear a kid crying.
Yeah.
I want to be the fixer for everything.
Understandable.
I really do. I don't want to see anyone sad. Right. I don't want to see anybody upset.
Right.
But really, my kids do say, Mom, you can't fix everything. Sometimes we don't want your advice. We just want to vent. And it's true. Sometimes you want to vent and you don't want people to go, here's what I would do.
Oh, sure. I agree with that. You know, whenever we talk about this segment, and I think you and I have discussed it, they've been doing it for 9 years. I think we've talked about it 4 or 5 years in a row now, I think, something like that. And we get tons of texts just from people saying, what's wrong with you? How could you enjoy this? These are kids suffering because they feel that their Halloween candy has been taken away from them. And I understand that, but I always think we get all those texts and we're not doing it. We're just talking about it. I can't imagine what sort of response he gets, Jimmy Kimmel gets, or the ABC network gets.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
He's suggesting.
He says, if you want to do this and you want to send me a tape, fine, that we would love that. But the mere fact that they've done this for 9 years says something, doesn't it? Like, usually if something was awful, somebody would go, we got to put a stop to that. We did it, and it was mean, but we did it, and now we're done. We're moving on. But 9 years later, they're still doing it and getting tons of response. Last year, he said they had over 1,000 tapes sent in, and it gets more popular every year, not less popular. So
how does that make him feel? I've turned into Dr. Phil. How does that make you feel, Jimmy Kimmel?
Does that make you feel good, Jimmy Kimmel?
Because it sure should make him feel like crap.
Not getting any sense of that at all.
I know, but I mean, think about it. You said thousands of people, but not everyone was chosen to be shown on TV.
They probably show a dozen or 15.
Right, so these people hurt their kids
for nothing.
Irreparably for nothing.
Right, right. A texter earlier said, I would love to come back and see those kids years later to see what it did to them. I think I'm no expert, Wendy, but I think that falls under reparable damage.
Yeah, and
not irreparable, but reparable, in that as soon as the kid knows your parents have messed with your head, all it does is from then on you just keep a closer eye on them. Like, all right, I thought I trusted these guys. I got to be more careful.
This is why it upsets me, and you're going to get super mad at me for connecting it to a different tragedy in the news. That's
what?
Terrible.
What?
John Williams yesterday was talking to this Tribune investigative reporter who covered the AJ Friend thing.
I heard that. Yeah.
And I read her piece in the Chicago Tribune. I got to look up her name.
Christy something, I think.
Yeah, it's just, she did a great job with it.
Yes,
because it really broke your heart reading it. There's two parts to it.
Yeah.
But there's not any gratuitous bad stuff. It's just really good. But it gets me thinking how even though a little boy can be abused by his mom, he still loves his mom and says, Mommy didn't mean to hurt me. So
right.
God forbid, Bill,
yeah.
If someone who's truly abused can still look to their parents with loving eyes, obviously these kids are going to get over it. But it's just, in this day and age, I just think that is a really mean thing to do to your kid.
It is a very mean thing to do. It's a huge jump from...
Then how can you laugh at it? You are not wired correctly. You have a heart of black. You've heard of hookers with a heart of gold. Bill Leff has a heart of black.
If there's a heart in there at all, Wendy. I would need to do a serious x-ray.
The Grinch would put an end to this.
Right.
Pre his heart growing.
The Grinch would look at this and go, well, that's just mean for the sake of being
right.
mean. We can't have this.
But not you or Kim Gordon, which amazes me.
Yeah. Like I said at the very beginning, I'm unsavable at this point. But Kim is a beacon of hope, Wendy.
I'll go there.
All right. So when Kim joins us a little bit later on, we will discuss this and try to figure out why two seemingly sensible people, or at least one seemingly sensible person and me, can see this and know the agony that these kids are being put through and yet still laugh at it, as I've done every year for the last 9 years.
I got to be honest with you, I can't laugh at it.
It won't make you laugh at all.
I cringe. Christy Gutowski.
That's her name, yeah.
Is the, she did an investigations piece, The Untold Story of AJ Friend's Tragically Short Life, A Time of Hope, A Violent Death. Amazing job. And I heard John Williams talk to her yesterday and went and read the article. And I agree with John Williams. If you don't already subscribe to the Chicago Tribune, you should.
How about the parallel that she drew in the differences in the parents? Because he was on a fast track to success. Everything he seemed to touch turned to gold. She had almost the exact opposite story. And yet, because they both had something in common, an addiction to drugs, they got together based kind of on that.
Well, if I can recollect this article, the investigative piece that Christy Gutowski did, he went to U of I, graduated with honors, went to John Marshall Law School.
Yeah.
He had a great job. He was a lawyer. Her mother, her biological father was abusive and an alcoholic, so the mom divorced him when Joanne Cunningham was only about 19 months old.
Right.
But the mom went on to say how she had a pretty happy and good upbringing. They went to Disney World and on family vacations.
Right. Right.
And she got pregnant at 16. The mom helped raise her first child while Joanne was going to cosmetology school to be a beautician. And then she got married and had another kid with this other man. And then as she was going through that divorce, that's when she met Andrew Friend.
The first. And he served as her divorce attorney.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And that's when things were starting to fall off the rails.
Yeah.
He had previously had a stroke, Andrew mm-hmm. Friend, so he turned to
And is that
drugs.
A byproduct of drugs?
No, this
no,
is...
No, that was just a...
They both started on painkillers.
Yeah.
That's what turned into a heroin addiction.
Yeah.
And that's what is so disgusting these days.
Yeah.
I know you have had some surgery or something on your shoulder where you were given pain pills and you didn't want to take them.
That was for my leg.
Oh, that's right.
Muscle.
That's right.
Yeah. They warned me
yes.
in the hospital. They said, we're going to write you a prescription for these. They are highly addictive. As soon as you don't need them anymore, get rid of them. Don't mess around. Don't keep them in a cabinet or anything like that. And I said, when you say highly addictive, and they went through the paces of telling me what it was. So I took one the day of the injury and then didn't want any more. I got rid of them after that.
I typically get sick to my stomach from taking them. It just does not work well and gives me a huge headache. But after two knee replacements, I had to take them for a while. For my second replacement, I said I get very sick from this oxycodone or whatever they gave me. I don't remember, a Vicodin, whatever. It's an opiate.
Yeah.
And they gave me something different. I think it was Norco they gave me for my knee surgery. And it made me sick, so they gave me a different kind, and I got to be honest with you, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
It takes the pain away, and if you live in constant pain,
yeah, mm-hmm.
I could see where you would get addicted. And then you can't get prescriptions anymore because your doctor's like, I can't keep giving you this. That's when you turn to heroin and other drugs, and that is what's leading this epidemic.
Sure.
It's terrible.
Right. I know. All right, on to something slightly happier. Every week when we have Alex Zalbin in, he always goes through a bunch of shows that are either about to premiere or, you know, sometimes they break that day. And I always make a mental note because one or two or three of them always sound really interesting to me, and I had never heard of them, and I didn't know the network or that such a show existed. So in the last couple of weeks, there have been a couple of shows like the show with Paul Rudd that I told you about called Living With Yourself.
I almost watched it yesterday.
It's really good.
I fell asleep.
I've gotten all through that. Enjoyed it immensely. He does a great job. Everyone in the cast is great.
Modern Love.
Modern Love. Fantastic.
I'm going to watch that too.
That is so perfect for you.
All right.
The other night we started watching a show called The Spy, and it's really interesting because it's Sacha Baron Cohen. It's a serious role.
Yeah,
I remember. It takes place
now.
in the early 1960s, all around the world, mostly Syria, but not exclusively Syria. But it's a serious role. It's a serious movie. It's done a serious TV show. It's done incredibly well. They spared no expense when it comes to the locations where they're shooting, because it's shot all over the place, and it's a costume piece because it's the 1960s. So you got to make all the cars fit into the 60s and everything.
Oh wow!
Into the 60s. The one thing that is so interesting to me, and I kind of knew that this was going to happen, but I didn't know it would happen to this extent, is he's great in it. But there are times where, if you're a fan of his previous work, you're watching Borat. Even
That's
though he's
weird.
Not Borat, he's a completely different character. And he really, like, of all the actors working today, he loses himself in the character. I mean, he's a master.
He is a pretty good actor.
Oh.
I hate.
Just the three characters he would do, you know, when he was Borat and Bruno and Ali G.
And that This Is America or whatever
right.
thing that he did.
Right.
Those were pretty good
yeah.
roles, too.
They're all so diverse, but the way his character in this looks has a very Borat-y, the way his hair is, the way his mustache is, and through no fault of his own, there are several times where, in a very serious moment, you have to tell yourself, that's not Borat. It looks like Borat. It sounds like Borat. He's the same size, shape, and color of Borat. He's not Borat. Stop it.
All right, what's that called?
The Spy. It's similar to Homeland, the Claire Danes series that's been on for years, which is that great? There's so much going on in that show. It's similar in tone to that, but it's also because it's the 1960s, there's a certain look to it, and they do this thing that, I know this is weirdly artistic, but hear me out on this. A lot of shows have a color palette that they adhere to. The way the show looks, there's either a glossiness or more of a matte finish, or they'll use certain colors. And when you watch this, it almost has the feeling of something that's kind of like black and white. It looks like you're watching something that was done in the 60s. It's not bright Technicolor. It's very muted colors.
Interesting.
You know?
Like, I guess I've never thought of that, but when I think of Breaking Bad, it involved a lot of yellows because it was all sand related. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, there was almost like a tint to the pictures.
There's certain directors that go out of their way, and it's not always the call of the director. It's whoever's doing, you know, the set design and the art and stuff like that. To develop that, you know, and that's usually done pre-production. They'll have a sit down and they'll go, let's make it look this way. There's a certain look we want to get, you know, and they'll experiment and stuff. Do you know who, what's the director's name? I'm escaping his
name. What movie?
Well, the last one he did, the one I wanted to use as an example, is The Shape of Water, where there was a certain color palette to that movie where it was all kind of bluish greens.
Yeah.
With a purpley tint.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember his name for some reason. But he, I always want to say Benicio del Toro, who is not him.
And translated.
Of the Wolf.
No, isn't...
Well, Benicio del Toro is Benny the Bull.
Right.
Right. Oh, what did I say? The Wolf.
The Wolf.
No, Benny the Bull.
Benicio
del Toro was Benny the Bull for 3 seasons there. If no one knew it, now you do. But like that movie, Del Toro always has a very specific color palette, and it's always very dark because of the subject matter of his movies, very dark. But especially in The Shape of Water, everything had a bluish green tint to it.
Because it was water related.
Because it was, yeah. Yeah.
See, I never noticed these things. I just watch a movie and enjoy it. I know you studied film. And
I was a film major.
And you're a film buff.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, aside from studying it, you would know this probably anyway.
Well, I think it's one of those things that if done right, you're not even conscious of because it's all subliminal.
Yeah.
When you're watching a movie, you don't want to think about the fact that, hey, I'm noticing they're using these same colors over and over and over again, but it's all subliminal to put you in a certain state of mind. And sometimes, like with this show, The Spy, the way the film is processed has a certain color flair to it where, again, you're not noticing it, but it puts you in the mindset of, oh, it's the early 1960s. This is the way films look
dingy
in the early...
Yeah. But see, I would never think of that. I just watch things not thinking like a film major would think.
Oh, yeah.
So I love when you give us these little behind-the-scenes things.
But it is both a curse and a blessing because you're thinking about things, or I am anyway, while I'm watching that I really wish I wasn't thinking about. I like to get caught up in the storyline more than anything, but
you're analyzing it.
Yeah, so that can be a good thing and a bad thing at the exact same time. And then other times I'm able to turn that switch off and just go, just enjoy this for what it is. Don't think about the colors, don't think about the angles, don't think about this, just let it play out.
You should see movies twice, once just for enjoyment.
Right, that's a great idea.
And then go back and then you can
that's
nitpick.
A great idea. Do you go back, you know how we just talked about this yesterday, I think, where a lot of DVDs will have like a second track where they're explaining things
about
the movies.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Does that help you or hurt you? Because it helps me for the most part, but then I'm so more conscious of things during a movie.
Well, I watch it after the fact.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Because then it's just kind of...
Right.
I like hearing about these Easter eggs and these unique little things that they've tricked me with.
Right.
And I didn't even notice.
Right.
And the majority of people don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because, you know, there are just so many tricks of the trade that I wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
Like, we have all the tricks of the trade of radio that people don't know about.
We don't employ them, but we know they
we know
that they're existing. Yeah. Well, remember I told you, like, I guess La La Land was the one that you and I discussed this with. The whole opening sequence is all one long shot.
And I say, what does that even mean? The camera wasn't cut. They just ran with it, right? They rolled.
It's a big, long production song and dance where the people in Los Angeles are stuck on a highway in traffic, and they're singing about the fact that, you know, they're stuck on a highway in traffic, and just the way the camera sweeps in and out, it's almost impossible. I mean, they have done entire movies. Alfred Hitchcock made a movie called Rope where the whole movie is one long shot, but it's
so there's no cuts ever.
You can strategically do it where the camera, as the camera is panning from point A to point B, it'll hit a solid surface, so just
if
for a fraction of a second, you're not seeing action, and you can edit then, but it has to be done so perfectly to be pulled off.
It's because you told me that about that sequence of La La Land, and I'm like, that is so cool. What does that mean? It's like it didn't mean anything to me.
But
I just enjoyed it.
As that scene is, when you see it in the movie and you're not thinking about it, when you watch it in I think it's the first 8 minutes or the first 9 minutes is all one long shot. It makes you appreciate it even more. Like, wow, the synchronization of all these people to do the exact right thing at the exact right time is so hard to pull off. But, you know.
It's very impressive. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. Kim's got the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I hope you didn't mind me cleaning around
news. I can do anything.
It's Healthy Food Day, Kim. So restaurants have sent in a bunch of healthy food. And it's all piled up where you are.
Well, I moved it and I
nice
cleaned the area.
That's fine. I appreciate it.
I don't want Ro yelling at us because it's greasy. Because when we come in and it's greasy, ugh.
I know.
It looks fine in here.
Yeah.
Kim, Bill waited for you for this terrible thing
that
he's going to do.
I know what he's doing.
You guys are mean, hateful people.
I said this, Kim. I said, you would expect this sort of behavior from me, because I am a degenerate, but you are a trusted news person, a beloved member of the Chicago media.
There is just something about this Jimmy Kimmel Halloween thing that just, I live for it every year. I love it. It's the
so
highlight
funny.
Of after Halloween.
Wendy's argument was, as a parent, you want to do things to protect your children. You don't want to dupe them. You don't want to fool them. So why is something like this so amusing to us? And not to everybody.
And not that
most
I would even think about doing it to my own kids.
You're not even uncomfortable at all watching it.
I am.
A little bit.
I'm very
but
uncomfortable.
But it's still, I mean, you know, and they're watching the video, and you can even see on the video, they're like, Jimmy Kimmel told me to do it. We're just kidding. Like, they're not
Right.
You know, I mean, you've teased your kids over other things I'm sure that they've gotten upset about.
I haven't put it on YouTube or a TV show.
Well, that your kids were young. I mean, my kids didn't have that.
Are you going to do this to your grandkids?
No, of course not. All right, good. I'm a grandmother now. How could I do something
right,
like that?
That'd be irresponsible.
Well, you're still laughing at it. It's so mean.
No, it is so mean, but it's just so funny.
I said also to Wendy that we get, anytime we talk about it, we get a bunch of texts saying, it's not, that's so mean. Don't even talk about it. What kind of mail do you think they get? What kind of response are they getting over at Jimmy Kimmel Show?
But obviously, it's people love it because it's 9 years in the making.
Yeah. All right, so here's a clip. It's a couple minutes long. It's a compilation of all these kids being told by their parents that their Halloween candy has been taken by them. Listen to this.
We ate all the Halloween candy. I'm sorry. Is it okay?
Not at all.
Guess what? We're just joking.
That's the worst Halloween I ever had. Because of you, dummy stupid pants.
Mama was just too hungry.
I ate all your candy.
I'm gonna call the police.
You can't listen.
I was hungry. I'm joking.
Why do you not find candy later?
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
Let's go!
Mommy and Daddy ate all of your Halloween candy. Is that okay?
We ate all of your candy. Will you forgive me?
Yes, but don't do it again. It will make your belly sick. You will have to poop all that out. I'm counting on you, Willie.
That's not fair.
Juliana.
That's so rude of you. Tomorrow I'm going to eat your stuff. For real. And I'm not going to eat no goodies. Just Poppy. That's so rude of you.
I'm so hungry.
Vegetables, not candy.
Oh, vegetables. I thought basketballs.
No, vegetables.
Go! Eat some vegetables.
That's a setup.
See? You make a set. Say sorry.
Last night, I got hungry and I ate all of your Halloween candy.
You're happy that your candy is not gone?
A little bit. But I love you more than candy.
You just want the empty bucket?
Oh, you don't eat people's candy.
Okay, I'm really, really sorry.
You're really mad, Mommy.
I said I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, well, thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
Mackenzie, Jimmy Kimmel told me to do it.
Oh, thank you.
Jimmy Kimmel told me to trick you.
Who's that? He's Jimmy Pickle. Don't be mad at Mom. It's just Jimmy Pickle. That's Jimmy Pickle.
If I ever see Jimmy Kimmel, I would punch him in the face.
Why?
He deserves it.
What if I do it again tonight?
I'm going to punch him in the wiener.
Oh. I'm running my candy. When I drink a lot
of... You have a mouth full of candy right now, and you're crying about more candy.
I'm going to keep it.
Stop, wait. Chew what's in your mouth. They don't understand you. And now
okay,
what?
You're laughing.
This one's funny. Because he's not...
I ate all of it. It's all gone.
It's all gone. He ate it all.
How does it make you feel?
Some of these really sounded staged to me.
They're not staged.
But how you don't know that.
We
don't know
but
that.
We got to believe they're not.
I don't believe anyone anymore. Some of these kids are acting, you know, you got to eat your vegetable. This looks like something that was rehearsed.
No, but that's what a kid, you know,
but when you watch it and you're watching that little kid, because I saw it, it really, I mean, that little kid did not look rehearsed. He's like, you got to eat your vegetables.
He's scolding the way he has been scolded in the past for doing something similar.
And the one thing you didn't see when you hear all that like bonking noise, this one kid just took their pumpkin and they're just beating their empty Halloween pumpkin on, I don't remember if it's like on the wall or on furniture,
it's on
everything.
Trash basket.
Yeah, they're just beating that thing.
And that one kid takes the pumpkin and hurls it at a giant glass window and misses the window, but he could have taken out a whole window, a giant window.
And
with
whose fault would that have been?
Jimmy Pickle
would have paid for it.
Jimmy Pickle better watch himself, because there's going to be a group of, I don't know, there are Gen Y is out there now. I don't know what these kids are going to be when they get to be in their teenagers, but they are going to hunt him down and kill him. They are going to hunt him down.
Yes, of course they will.
I said hunt.
I know you did. We all know you did.
And kill him. That's when you combine kill and hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
After seeing this for so many years, I think the one thing that does make us laugh, and you did, for the record, Wendy, I don't know if you realize this, you did laugh several times.
You know when I laughed? The kid with the candy in his mouth.
That was funny.
Chew your candy first. I can't understand you.
Couldn't make out a word he said.
And it's hilarious when these kids call their parents like dummy stupid head.
Right.
Or, you know.
Right. But the thing that I think is making us laugh, those of us who are laughing at it.
I laughed twice.
Is that because when you're a kid and new information is thrown at you like that, good, bad, or indifferent, you don't know how to process it. And there's a frustration that you see in so many of these kids where they're given the bad news that mom and dad have eaten the candy. And then they just, some of them scream and some of them like vibrate or move their arms around. Because it's like, wait, you got to prepare me. You can't just throw that much bad news at me. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, they're just learning. These kids are too little to have this happen to them.
What age is the right age to lie to your children?
20.
At the age of 20, then.
Right before they turn into an adult,
right.
You can do it.
Right.
So it's okay for me to tell my kids now that the dog we told them we took to the farm didn't go to the farm?
Yes.
They know
Explain
that.
Explain that to them now.
You know, kids aren't stupid.
They're stupid, but
they realize things.
Right. All right, now here's the other question, and I already know how you will answer, Wendy. I don't know how you will answer, Kim.
Okay.
But if
she may surprise you.
You may surprise us. If you took this a step further, Halloween candy is one thing. But what if kids who have been visited by Santa Claus and given toys for Christmas, what if the day after Christmas you did a similar thing and said, hey, Santa Claus checked his list and it turns out you were a lot more naughty than nice. So yesterday when you were asleep, he had to come back and take all of your Christmas presents. That would be overkill, wouldn't it?
That's too much. And also then, you know, kids have their vision of Santa. You don't want to ruin that.
Halloween is kind of a stupid holiday anyway.
I mean, we're talking candy. You know, a Barbie dream house goes to a different level.
Yeah. Although that is your thing, maybe, to put us on the map and make us YouTube stars.
I can't do it.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel has this Halloween.
I can't ruin Christmas for kids.
Give back. You could have your Santa reclaim.
I mean, maybe you could
do
take...
It.
Don't put it on Santa, but maybe you can rob kids of their Easter basket.
All right, that's a little better.
Bunny's not so good.
The Easter Bunny's brother came
and
took all the chocolate eggs, so sorry. there is a text from earlier, Wendy. Kim, I know you weren't a part of this, but Wendy and I were reading some fun facts that were amazing and true, and we were talking about pennies. I can't remember which state, but their Capitol building has more copper in it than... like 5 million pennies.
They have 5 million pennies adorning their state capitol building.
Well,
right?
the copper equivalent of it. They're not actually pennies, but it's the copper that would have made that many pennies. That's how many they've used in their state capitol.
Copper is a hot commodity. I know people like steel copper wires and stuff.
Yes. But I said I remember learning in school years ago, they explained to us that every penny that the U.S. Mint makes, it loses money on because it costs them more to make the penny than the penny is worth. So I was questioning the ethics of that, saying, well, then don't have them or figure out a different way to do it.
Or use a different metal.
Right. A cheaper metal. All right. So here's a text. Sean from Palos Hills says, He has a comment about the value of a penny. I'm 61 years old. I have pennies that were from the year that I was born. That would be 1958. And they're worth between $5 to $7 each. So the value of those pennies is 500 to 700 times that of their original value. Try to compare the value of anything else that was manufactured in 1958. So he's saying if you compare things, the cost of things in 1958 as opposed to their today's value,
right?
The copper and the pennies have gone up so much more than almost anything else you could compare them to. I guess gold and silver, you're going to get more of a turnaround on your value on that.
Well, and it all fluctuates.
Yes.
That's true, Wendy. That's
but can I tell you both something?
Yes.
This was dated last year, so there's a little margin of error. But the 1 cent U.S. coin, mostly made of zinc with a little bit of copper, is the most abundant coin in the country. Last year, so this is 2017, the U.S. Mint produced more than 8.4 billion pennies for circulation, and it cost them more to make than they were worth.
Yeah.
Okay, but nickels have cost more to make than their monetary value for over a decade. Mm. But dimes and quarters are cheaper to make, costing less than their monetary value. So the mint makes up the losses incurred of pennies and nickels with its dime and 25-cent coin pieces.
Do you remember, and I don't know what year this took place, but dimes used to be, like you've heard this phrase, a solid dime. You ever hear that phrase?
Why do they always bite it in like Popeye and stuff?
Shoeshine Boy does
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Underdog.
Shoeshine Boy.
Yeah, he would take the coin and bite it to see if it was real. Forget you don't that. Do that with your money when you get change and jewel? You don't bite all your coins? Oh, I thought you were supposed to. All right. So in the old days, if you got a dime and you looked at the side of the dime, it was silver all the way through. It was
now
silver on both sides.
Different.
Now I believe it's like a copper alloy or something.
I thought a quarter also.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You're right. But I think dimes came, I think they did that first with dimes and then quarters later, I think, to where the profile is where you see it, where it is still silver on both sides, but in the middle, you got kind of a coppery tone to it. They're using a cheaper metal in the middle.
It's zinc.
Is it zinc?
Yeah. Zinc.
That's why when I have a cold, Wendy, instead of sleepies, I just suck on a quarter for a while and I feel better.
A nickel is still...
all the same.
It's still silver.
Yeah.
But it says nickel has gotten more expensive for its use in stainless steels. So nickels have cost more to make. The key ingredient?
Love.
It says
the U.S. Mint, every nickel we make with love.
I'm not an economist or a banker. And
wait, you're not an economist or a banker?
No, I know. I play one on TV. All right. But so here's my question. There's already all these coins in circulation.
Right.
People don't use coins like they used to. I mean, especially now with Apple Pay and things like that. So why do we need to even keep making more if they're already in circulation and we don't even use them half the time?
They've been talking about doing away with the penny almost constantly for the last 10 or 11 years. They've been saying, all right, enough with the penny. Just round it off to the next nickel. What difference does 2 cents make here, 3 cents make there? There's something to that.
Right.
Right. So who's losing the money on the differential between what it costs to make a penny?
Who's on the penny? Abe Lincoln.
Is Abe Lincoln making money? Is he getting a residual on this?
And then remember those special wheat pennies? Or
yes.
Yes. Those are supposedly worth money, but...
But those are... When did they stop making those? Late 50s, early 60s?
Something like that.
I don't remember, but yeah.
And the dime was a mercury dime. You're not a what?
What's the coin collector? Numismatist. What is it called? What's a coin collector?
I know a philatelist is stamps.
Right? Yeah. Numinescent? Is that what it is?
No, that's... No.
I don't know.
Evanescence?
Yes.
How about let's just go with coin collector?
Coin collector.
If I'm right, you both have to go through the spanking machine.
There used
machine.
To be... Remember, all right. Can we call HR on that one again, please? Remember when, not that long ago...
How
do you spell it?
I don't know. It's a coin collector who is called... Numismatic. No, that's... No.
They put you to sleep with their stories of coins.
A coin collector can be called a numismatic.
Hello, numismatic.
Or a numismatist. Did I not say that?
I don't think you said numismatist.
I think I said numismatist. I don't know, but I was pretty close.
Coin collector.
All right, sorry to interrupt. Go back.
Philatelist sounds like something fatal has happened.
Yeah. No, it sounds like, hey, I philateled you.
Yeah,
I'm going to get in trouble.
Nasty.
I'm a philatelist. Oh, cut my hands off.
Wow. Can you believe this, Kim? And Wendy does not think it's funny to take candy from children, but we just got a burst of that. Wow.
That philatelist sounds.
Right.
Kim, you thought it too.
All right.
It sounds a little bit like the other word.
All right.
Philatelist. Hey, philatelist.
Wendy, I'm reading Rob Peter's column right now. Was today's bonus hour the last ever, he asks? That was fast. How did he write that so fast?
Pumping ether in here from the ether bunny.
Oh, no.
Honestly,
it's only Wednesday, too.
No, I think it's the hummus. I think the hummus made me
messed
crazy.
With you.
Mm-hmm. I feel drunk from hummus. Can that happen?
That's why you're supposed to avoid healthy foods. Look what it's doing to Wendy right now.
Look at that.
You want to end up like this?
Good.
All right. That's all that counts. So what were we saying?
Chickpea to get you going.
I like the chick. Oh, see, I had hummus and chickpea, so I overdosed on chickpeas.
That's what it is.
So if they were to put it to a vote about pennies and say, do we still need them? Do we not need them anymore? What would you vote? Would you say, yeah, keep them or get rid of them?
Can I ask you a question first?
Yeah.
I've been told by my kids that you can't throw money out.
You're not supposed to deface currency.
Okay, but they said I could be arrested.
Have you ever thrown money out?
Sometimes if, you know, the cup holder in your car gets really gross and there's some pennies in there, yeah. I'll admit.
Really?
Yeah. Am I going to be arrested? Is there going to be someone waiting for me?
You'll be arrested, but not for that.
Okay, good.
I think there's other stuff that they'll probably arrest
you for. Being a philatelist.
Yes. There's a place that I get lunch from about once a week. And the thing I order, I know exactly how much it costs. It's $10.94. So I give them $11. And the fact that I always say, you can hold on to the change. I don't need the 6 cents. You should see the look on their face. They can't believe I'm leaving that money on the table. They're like, you sure? Yeah.
I think they're going, that's all you're leaving?
No, because I'm just picking up food. I mean, it's...
You told me when you pick up food...
If there's ever any extra effort involved, I'll tip a couple dollars.
Well, how do you know? They got your order ready.
It's always, as I walk in, the counter's right up front. It's there waiting for me every single week.
Because somebody bagged it up. You said before, because of you, yeah. I now tip when I pick things up. And I never did that before. That was the
whole
point.
I don't give as big of a tip as I do when I'm sitting in a restaurant.
It's no 20%, but a couple dollars, right?
6 cents, you said.
In this case, it's 6 cents.
you're putting forth your 6 cents.
Right. And I bite the coin to show them that it's real. Shoeshine boy, you're humble and lovable. Thank you, sir. And I bite on the coin and I flip it to them.
Because of you, I've never tipped before. And I figure if you go pick something up.
Yeah.
The reason you're picking it up is so you don't have to pay a delivery charge and a tip.
Yeah.
So
plus, I just like to see people. I just like to get out in the world and see people.
I don't. I would like to have everything delivered.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not a fan of all delivery because I just think food loses something.
It does.
It doesn't always travel well.
Some foods do hold up better than others, but
right. You
know, people love to like pick up and carry out Chinese.
Yeah.
No, not me. I will only eat Chinese in a restaurant.
That travels pretty well in my opinion.
Oh, see, I don't think it does.
I almost always, if it's Chinese food or any Asian food, I'm always pick it up and have it at home. But Mexican food to me is the one that doesn't travel well. I'll always eat that in a restaurant. I don't think I've ever, I shouldn't say ever, but very rarely will we order Mexican food and bring it home.
I usually do. If I'm delivering or picking up, I'll do a salad because I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it'll hold up.
Yeah.
Pizza. Okay.
Terry ordered a salad from a restaurant the other night, and she didn't warn me of this, but this particular salad, you know how salad, like even in the Bible, it says salad shall be served cold. That's how salad should be. Mm-hmm. This is a salad that is roasted, and I wasn't warned about
like
this.
Like a roasted vegetable salad?
Arugula?
Yes to Kim's. I don't think arugula was involved.
Because they do a roasted arugula salad a lot of times, too.
This was called, I can't remember what the name of it was, she said to me, she goes, can I get, no food was mentioned. It was like a part of the world. She goes, can I get a Peruvian salad? And I go, yeah, that sounds good. But I didn't know what that was.
Uh-huh.
So then I took a couple of bites of it. And I go, they ruined this salad. And she goes, no, it's supposed to be that way. They cook
roast it. Yeah.
And I go, no, that's not what you do with salad.
I also like, too, when people grill romaine.
I don't like that.
I can't do
I love that.
I don't like grilled watermelon either. Watermelon's supposed to be cold.
That I do like grilled.
And pineapple, I don't
love
really
it grilled.
Oh,
I know
you do. Caramelizes like that, I love it.
It's funny because it's cooked on a grill, but it still tastes, there's still some cold to it, but I can't figure out why there's cold to it because it's been on an open flame.
So there's never cold. Tasting,
you don't taste any cold in there?
Not if it's grilled.
No?
Sometimes if you do like a sweet and sour stuff,
yeah,
it's just kind of warm, but in the center it's still sometimes cold.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't grill it very long, just char it.
Then, yeah, maybe then. But don't you think it's a restaurant's responsibility to tell you
to
when you're picking
up salad?
To say it's a
warm salad, yes.
Just so you know, sir. The salad is warm.
Well, didn't Terry know it was going to be warm?
She did, but she likes to surprise. She likes the element of surprise.
But she was eating it, so who cares what you know? I mean, I don't mean it that way.
That's her
You weren't ordering it to split it, right? So, or you were?
Yes. Well, the intent on it was, it's something she's had before, and can I get, get one. That sounds good. But it was just the name of some part of the world. They didn't, it wasn't called warm-proof salad. Right. It was just,
And that wasn't in the
but
description?
Now, it scared me off because I'm trying to eat healthier now, and I do eat a lot more lettuce and salads. But now, after a stunt like this,
I wouldn't want
I'm swearing off salad for years now. I can't have it for a long time.
I agree with you.
No, you don't want that. Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for sharing the laughs.
Hummus is your friend.
Wow. We'll take a break, and then we'll close things off. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night. Good night, until we meet.